The first entry on the U.S. Army's list of values is loyalty, defined this way. Bear true faith and allegiance to the U.S. Constitution, the Army, your unit, and other soldiers. Each Tuesday this month, Morning Edition has been examining what loyalty means in different areas. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg concludes her series with loyalty in the military.
Lieutenant General Theodore Stroop, U.S. Army retired, was a combat engineer, setting mines, clearing minefields. He commanded at all levels through battalion. These days, he's a leader of the Association of the U.S. Army. It promotes that service. General Stroop says loyalty is one of the first values taught to young soldiers. They're trained to be part of a team.
There's a very distinguished retired general by the name of Hal Moore, who wrote a book after Vietnam called We Were Soldiers Once and Young. He has asked the question, why do soldiers fight? And the answer was, well, they may fight for the flag, but in that foxhole, they fight for each other. That is the epitome of the individual loyalty that the young soldier feels towards one another.
General Stroop, you're retired now, but you were a young soldier once, and you came through the system through West Point.
That's correct.
You saw combat also in Vietnam.
We would get into firefights, and we were defending ourselves. And the loyalty then was extended from the sergeant who was scurrying around from foxhole to foxhole, making sure that the young soldiers that were firing and fighting, and sometimes against an unseen enemy, that they were together and that they were being taken care of and they were taking care of one another. It's a bonding.
And how do you train for that? I mean, it's got to be more than mere words. You've got to be loyal.
The Army uses history vignettes in teaching about these principles, the examples from combat or from other pieces of the Army history to talk and exemplify what loyalty means within a unit or what loyalty means to each other. And by that time, you're sort of into it, and as you make a career out of it, and you become a teacher and a leader and a mentor and a commander, it just becomes part of your ethos. It's almost in some ways, depending upon your religious background, it's almost a catechism-like experience where you're then introduced into this ecclesiastical set of military values. But that's how I would sort of relate that.
Ecclesiastical, because you have to have that much faith in
it.
Right.
You have to have a belief. Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
When does it become blind faith, a blind loyalty?
We try to inculcate into our young people that if they believe that they're given a wrong or an illegal order, they need to examine and figure how to, within the rules, challenge that.
We're talking at a time when in the background is this incident in the Navy involving that nuclear submarine hitting a fishing trawler and lives being lost there, and the question should have been raised.
Small working organizations in the military, like that crew on that attack sub, are bonded together by the toughness and the danger of the mission. And they share loyalties not only to the organization, which is the subcrew, but they share loyalties among each other, and in particular in the Navy tradition, to the skipper. The large question is, if loyalty was breached, how should it have been breached? If some young man on that submarine observed something wrong, was it tradition of being loyal to the skipper and the crew that he did not speak up? I just don't know what happened in the sub. But I can think of other instances where not necessarily something went wrong or loss of life occurred, but where there was such intense loyalty to a small unit in a training accident or a training incident where the young men and women did not want the unit to be embarrassed by it. They did not speak out in the heat of training or in the heat of battle.
I guess that's always a risk, isn't it?
Right. And
and that's one of the greatest tests of loyalty.
That's correct.
Isn't it? When you speak up and say, no, this is wrong.
Right.
And that would have pertained at My Lai.
Correct.
Or in any tough situation.
That's correct. When they get in a stress situation, they will have that built into them as training or as a level of conscience that they would automatically react and say, I know something's happening. I know somebody's going to be in danger or we're doing something wrong that's breaking the rules, I subconsciously they may have their own internal argument that says, I know I must be loyal to my unit, but I must be loyal also to a higher authority, which is standard of conduct, rules of justice, rules of law. And at that point, the person makes the decision that I must be loyal to a higher standard of behavior than being loyal to the unit or to the leader. In the heat of combat, it comes very quickly, and that's why the basic behavior training right at the beginning must be done very properly, mentoring historical examples and the value of life on the line in the foxhole be made early.
General, I know that you were wounded in Vietnam and you spent a year at Walter Reed Hospital. You must have had moments in that period in which your loyalty was challenged, in which you said, here I am, and look what's happened to me.
I can say with the deepest truth and belief that I never had a doubt that I was not going to be taken care of by Army medicine or anything was in jeopardy. I had other members in Ward 1 and Walter Reed that were far worse off than I was. They had lost limbs. They had lost eyes. We were all basically laying there in the orthopedic ward healing. There would be moments of despair among each other. But again, there was ward loyalty. And when somebody was feeling down, the others would bond with him and try to bring him out of his doldrums and that. I never had any doubt that I was not going to come out of it as good as I went in terms of my attitude and my belief that everything was going to be okay.
Lieutenant General Theodore Stroop, his hip was shattered in a mine accident, then replaced. He's a bionic man, he says, and very lucky. The military recruits some 170,000 men and women every year. About a third leave after a few years, bringing to civilian life, General Stroop hopes, standards and values, including loyalty, that were instilled in them in the service. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.